This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good evening, everyone. It's nice to be here at the plant. I haven't been here in quite a while. It may have been about 5 years. The last time I was here was the last day when you had the send-off for Pastor Michael Cabana. And so I was here that day. But we're best friends, you know. I talk to him several times a week. So, but he'll be asking me about my experience here this evening. But anyway, no, it's great to be here. And Also, thankful to see Jennifer and Kevin, and is Pastor Marsh here? Not yet, right? You know, we're good buddies too. You know, me and we've been on trips together and room together and stuff like that. So, you know, Pastor Marsh is a great guy too. So, but I'm thankful to be here. But my presentation this evening is the panel discussion. No. I guess I pushed the wrong one. Press down and running over. But I always like to have a prayer before I begin, because who am I to speak for God? But I don't want to speak for him. I want him to speak through me. Amen?
Amen.
So let's have a little prayer and ask Jesus to speak to all of us tonight. Let's pray. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another day of life. We're thankful that we can be here this evening. We're thankful that people can be tuned in online. And Lord, tonight we just want to hear what you have to say to us. It's not important what I say or what I think or what any of us think. What's important is what you think. So send the Holy Spirit tonight to be with us here in the church and be with the airwaves and the electromagnetic spectrum as it goes out amongst the signals and people receive it wherever they are. May your Holy Spirit minister to all of us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh boy, I tell you what, I got the best topic out of all the topics, I think, right? Yeah, I'm sure you're all thrilled. You probably had three times as many people here last night, and you'll probably have much more here tomorrow. But usually when you talk about stewardship, this is the reaction I've got over the years as a pastor. You know, people look at me and say, oh no, stewardship, you know. Let's go to First Church up in West Palm Beach this Sabbath. But anyway, but I'm going to do my best to make it clear. Jesus at the center. I got it. So let's go. Now, you know, two of the most precious commodities that we have as human beings after our health, because if you don't have your health, what do you have, right? But after our health, the two most precious commodities that we have is time and money. Now, there's debate over whether which is more precious to people. Some people say time is money, and it is. But let's see what the Word of God has to say about time and money. You know, God lays claim to a portion of our time and our money. Did you know that? It tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the what? Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is what? The Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why should we not do any work? And here's the reason. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this is the portion of our time that God claims as his. 1/7 of our time out of 7 days of the week, God claims one as his, and he asks us to rest on it because he rested on that day. Now, just for clarification, you'd be surprised how many people don't realize that the Sabbath day is actually on the seventh day, and as many people don't know really what day the seventh day is. A lot of people assume it's Sunday, many people. But if you look in the dictionary plainly states that Saturday is the seventh day of the week and not Sunday. And also, if we look in the calendar, October 2021 we're in, right? Today is the 10th? But yesterday was the 9th, and that was the seventh day of the week, Saturday. So yesterday, Saturday, was the Sabbath. Now, many people will say, well, isn't that part of the Old Covenant? Wasn't the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday, just for the Jews? Well, if we go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we will realize that the Sabbath predated Sinai. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he did what? He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So this seventh day is very special because God blessed it and he made it holy. He didn't do that with the other 6 days, but he specifically made the seventh day a holy day. And he rested on that day from all the work that he had done. Now, so we see that every Saturday, still, you know, when God blesses something, it's still blessed, isn't it? If you can show me in God's word when he unblessed the seventh day, hey, I'm all ears. But it doesn't say that. So the seventh day back in Genesis is blessed, and it's still blessed today in 2021. And now I just kind of throw you a little curveball here, and you're all Bible students, so I know I can't do that. But Mark 2:27, is this the correct rendition of Mark 2:27? The Sabbath was made for Israel and not Israel for the Sabbath. Is that what the Bible says? What does it say? The Sabbath was made for who? This is Jesus now. We're talking about Jesus at the center of crises, right? Jesus said the Sabbath was made for who? Man, all mankind, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath day is a gift to us. It's not a liability, it's an asset. It's something that Jesus gave to us as a gift for all mankind to be blessed. Now, this is the day we worship, right? You were here yesterday in this sanctuary, this church. You worshiped here, and this is the day that God provided for us to do that. And the word church, ekklesia, in the original Greek, means gathering or assembling of people. And that's what we do on the seventh day. But you know, that's not all what we should do on the seventh day, is it? What else should we do on the seventh day? Come to church, yes. And worship God and praise him, yes, like we did yesterday morning. But what else? We ought to get out in nature. You know, here in South Florida, we had a hot summer, didn't we? And it's like, you know, the summer we have down here is like the winter they have up north. You know, it's kind of a trade-off. But I'll take the hot summers rather than the cold winters, right? But this is also the time of the year. It's getting a little cooler, lower humidity. It's good to get out on a Sabbath. You know, someone called nature God's second book. This is his first book, but nature is his second book. Amen? So we ought to take advantage and get out and see the beauty of nature. Commune with God. Bring our children outside. Don't keep them in church from sunrise to sunset. You know, I tell you that. If I was a little kid, I wouldn't like that, would you? No. Get them outside. And, you know, dad's off, mom's off. Take the kids. Take them to the park. Take them down to the ocean. And show them what the Sabbath day should really be, how it should be observed. And not only that, but here's the clincher. Here's the clincher. As far as God wanting us, he claims 1/7 of our time is his. It's an asset. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to what? Ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So if we honor God by observing that day which he designated us to rest on, to worship on, to experience family time and get out in nature together and socialize with people and witness to people, then God says if we do that, he will cause us to ride upon the high places of the earth. One of the greatest promises in the whole Bible is in connection with observance of the seventh day of the week. Can you say amen? And you know, the promise is those who observe the Sabbath, not those who know about it or try to argue about it and try to change it, but those who observe it, God will bless. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, so high places of the earth. Now, I don't know what that means, but it's got to be good. If God said it, I'll take it. High places of the earth, hey, that sounds pretty good to me. All right, so God not only lays claim on 1/7 of our time, but he also lays claim on a portion of our finances, our money, our increase, our possessions. It tells us here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the what, church? The tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will what? Here's another great promise, if we honor God with our first fruits, with our tithing. It says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. High places of the earth when we dedicate 1/7 of our time to God, right? And rest on that seventh day. And now if we return our tithe to God, he will open up the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing, we will not be able to receive it. Are you experiencing these blessings in your life? Oh, don't miss out on it. Here again, it's not a liability, it's an asset. It's a blessing that God wants for the entire human race. Now, a tithe simply means one-tenth of something. Unfortunately, back in the Garden of Eden, and the reason for the tithe, I'm going to explain it very quickly now because my time is limited. Back in the Garden of Eden, you remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of it. Unfortunately, they ate of it, right? And God said, if you eat of it, you're going to die. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 21-22, after they ate of the fruit, it says they knew that they were naked, and what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Never had any embarrassment of being naked in front of each other, as a husband and wife shouldn't, but now they are. So they try to cover themselves up with these big fig leaves, which were quite big back in those days. And it said, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make what? Coats of skins and clothed them. Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. See, when they sinned, God said they should have died. But God in his great love decided to supply a substitute. And that eventually would be Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for the sins, not only for Adam and Eve, but for all the sins of the world, including yours and mine. So God symbolically had to put an animal to death, or animals, and clothe Adam and Eve with the skin so that they would see the severity of this their sin. They should have died, but the animal died as their substitute, and they were clothed with those animal skins. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There must have been shedding of blood. A death had to occur because God means what he says, and he says what he means. And when he said, thou shalt surely die, a death had to take place in that animal sacrifice. And remember Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's two sons. Cain brought the first fruits of the crops. He was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. He brought the firstlings of his flock, sacrificed the blood sacrifice. But Cain thought that those fruits and vegetables, hey, listen, a vegan diet is good, but not as a sacrifice. And so God didn't pay any attention to that. He said, no, you must bring a blood sacrifice. And so God did not accept Cain, but he accepted Abel's sacrifice. You see, and then later on, Melchizedek, Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. He was a priest. He was a priest of the Most High God. And he, Abraham, the father of many nations, he gave him tithes of all. You see, by this time now, the priesthood had developed from that first sacrifice back in the Garden of Eden to clothe Adam and Eve with those animal skins. Now, there was priests that officiated like that, and Melchizedek is mentioned at the first one. And this may be a little hard, but this is the patriarch family tree here. You start, I'm going to just go back there. Can you go back to that slide real quick? It's a patriarch tree, and you start with Noah, and then you go down to Methuselah, who knew Adam. Methuselah knew Adam. He was the grandfather of Noah. And Methuselah was the great-grandfather of, if I can see that, Shem. There I go, right? You got Japheth, Ham, and Shem. So he knew Shem, and Shem knew Abraham. So I just mentioned four people. You got Adam, you got Methuselah, you got Shem, and you got Abraham. So the sacrificial system of blood sacrifice was passed down from generation to generation. And by the time we got to Abraham, he knew what that meant. And that's why he paid his tithe to Melchizedek, because that was Melchizedek's job, to take that blood sacrifice in as an atonement for the sins of the people, even in Abraham's day. Now, his grandson Jacob knew about that. And Jacob said, Lord, if you bless me, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you, his grandfather. You see, the knowledge of the Sabbath day, one-tenth of our time dedicated to God, and one-tenth of our income dedicated to God, those were passed down from the very Garden of Eden into today, even to today's life, in today's world. So Jacob paid his tithe, and then we had the sacrificial system. First in the wilderness with the tent, and then in Solomon's temple and Herod's temple. And they would officiate, and those tithes were to support the priesthood in their work. And it tells us here in Numbers chapter 18, 21 and 24, God said, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. You see, they didn't have regular jobs. They didn't go out and farm. They didn't go out and herd sheep or cattle. What their job was is to just officiate in the temple, and the tithe was to support them in their livelihood. And it goes on to say, the tithes of the children of Israel I have given to the Levites to inherit. That's all the income they have, was the tithe of the people to support them in that ministry. Are you with me, church? All right, are you with me? Now, what did the Apostle Paul say in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? What's he talking about here? He's talking about the Old Testament Levite priesthood in the sanctuary, isn't he? And he goes on to say, even so, he goes on to say, in the New Testament times, has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should also live of the gospel. Can you say amen? So this principle of tithing, God's claim on one-tenth the portion of our income to support ministers in the gospel ministry, is still in effect today in the New Testament. Now, I'll quickly go on here now. If you give one tithe dollar, do you know where that goes? 34.6 cents goes to support pastors in the ministry. Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jennifer, myself, Pastor Marsh, all of the pastors all around the world. And all of the men you see up on the screen there now would not have a job unless you and I, and pastors pay tithe too, were faithful in returning our tithe and offerings. You wouldn't be able to watch those ministers. You wouldn't be able to have a preacher here. So we support all of those ministers. 24.7 cents goes to education. Do you have a school here? What's the name of it? Sawgrass Elementary School, right? Tithe goes to support the teachers who teach here in this school. So not only that, but Southern Adventist University, Greater Miami Academy, Oakwood College, all of that is supported by your tithe dollar. 4.8 cents goes to youth ministries. Have you ever been up to Camp Kalakwa? Right? That's supported by your tithe dollar. Pathfinders, adventurers, youth evangelism, all of that. 1.3 cents goes to literature and publishing. Do you like some of our books that we have published? Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, Great Controversy. All of these books are made possible by your and mine tithe dollars. So that's 65.4 cents. 34.6 cents is left over, and that equals a dollar, and you got administrative, evangelism, missions, and education, foreign missions, and the like. That's what your one tithe dollar does. But the Bible also talks about tithe and offerings. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? You see, there came a time when the children of Israel were not returning a faithful tithe to God and giving offerings. And the Levites, which were sustained by that tithe, that was their livelihood to support themselves and their families, they were no longer able to work in the temple. They had to go back out in the fields and become farmers. So God said through the prophet Malachi, he said, will a man rob God? And the people said, yet you have robbed me. But they said, wherein have we robbed you? They said, we're robbing you how? God was plain and he said, in your tithe and offerings. That's why the Levites are out in the fields and not in the sanctuary. And if they're not in the sanctuary, there's no atonement for your sins. And how much should we give? We know 10% is our tithe. How much for our offering? It says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposes in his what? In his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Here again, sometimes we look at the 1/7 of our time in the Sabbath and also 1/10 of our income and offerings to God. Am I kind of banging this around a little bit? I'm okay, yeah. I'll try to be a little more calm here. Anyway. But we think as a liability again. Oh, what a drag. I don't have the money this week, or I'm a little tired, And I remember I talked to a guy once, and he was working on the Sabbath, and he goes, well, you can't blame a man for trying to feed his family. Listen, God is the one who feeds us, amen? What about the children of Israel in the wilderness? God provided manna from heaven for them. They would have starved without it. But God, 6 days, rained that manna down and gave them a double portion on Friday so they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath day. Don't ever think that you can feed yourself and take care of your family better than God can you say amen? God is the one who supplies our needs, and he will save you and your family if you are faithful to him. It says, don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. My question to you tonight, and those who are watching online, are you a cheerful giver? Let's be a cheerful giver. What do you say? All right, I got to hurry now here. So, you couldn't have a church here if you didn't give offerings. The tithe doesn't go to the church to pay the electric bill. And my, do you have some electric bill as I look around here? Man alive. Pretty soon you're not going to have enough room for people. You got so many cameras and monitors around here. I'm just teasing a little bit. I see you're building a room back there. That's good. When I came here 5 years ago, you had like a third of this stuff. But now I come in here, man, I'm live. I said, am I at the Kravis Center or something? But anyway, no, it looks great. You're doing a great job here. But you got heating, you got the lighting bill, you got electricity, you got the water bill. If you don't give an offering on top of your tithe, this doesn't exist by itself. Do you live in your house rent-free? Do you get a water bill? Do you get an electric bill? Do you got to pay insurance, hurricane, wind insurance? Come on. That's why this church exists. Do you like this church? Give an offering, and then you'll be able to keep it. Amen? Come on, I got to hurry up now because Jennifer's waving stuff around back there, but I'm going to hurry up now. Did they cut me off? Next slide. Come on, let's go. Help me back there. Someone, help me. Okay. Let's force it through. Is anybody get a next slide there? No? Did it freeze up? It froze up. But Nikki is great back there. There we go. We all got to carry our load. Come on, man. I'm nothing special. I'm not Mark Finley. I'm no Doug Batchelor or Dwight Nelson or anything like that, man. I'm just Charlie from Queens. You heard of Jenny from the Bronx? Well, I'm Charlie from Queens, We all got to carry our load. It's just common sense. It's not rocket science. When we get a paycheck, the first thing we ought to do is send our tithe check. And that's like old school, right? But now we could go online, right? AdventistGiving.org. My wife does it every time I get paid. I always ask her, did you pay the tithe? She goes, yes, I did. And I don't even want to worry about it. There's nothing worse than having somebody else's money in your pocket. Because then you get tempted to spend it, don't you? If anybody ever wants to give me money, he says, will you hold on to this? He says, no, because I might go by the PGA store and see that nice new pink driver in the window, and I don't want to be tempted, so you keep your money and I'll keep mine, amen? So let's give God his money that he asked for. You see, 1/7 of our time, 1/10 of our income, these are the blessings that God has given us. And it tells us here in Scripture, as we go to the next slide, high places of the earth, windows of heaven. How about it? Do you want those blessings? Do you have the faith to have those blessings? Or are you saying, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know, it's hard. What does the Bible say in Luke 6:38? What did Jesus say? The center of this week is Jesus Christ. He said, give, Jesus said, and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you again. I remember the old evangelist, Pastor C.D. Brooks. You remember him? What a great preacher. Great man of God, won thousands to the kingdom. And I remember someone came up to him and said one day, he said, Pastor Brooks, I can't afford to pay my tithe. And he said, you can't afford not to. You see, because it's God who blesses us. Now, I want to do this quick little illustration. Do I have 5 minutes? Do I have 5 minutes? 5 minutes, okay. I got 5 minutes. Listen, I got $10 in my pocket here. Really, it's only six, but I'm going to make believe one of the dollars is a $5 bill, okay? So, okay, I got $10 here, right? So, now, how much is my tithe? Got $10, how much is my tithe? $1, there it is. Woo, am I done? I got $9, man. Here I go to the PGA store, right? Buy some golf balls. Can't buy much, but I could buy, refurbished ones. Okay, so, am I done? Am I done, church? Am I done? I paid my tithe. Oh, I'm not done yet. You mean I got to pay some offering to the church? This church here in Plantation? Yes. With all these monitors and cameras? Yes. And projectors and... Okay, oh, man. We're going to... 50 cents. Is that too much? I got $10. If I got $10, is that a sacrifice to give 50 cents to the church? Okay, give 50 cents to the church. What about the conference? Oh, the conference. The conference? Are you kidding? No, the conference. Okay. Can I give if I have $10, can I give a nickel to the conference? And how about, well, I tell you what, I'm going to give the conference a dime, okay? I'll be generous. $10, I'm going to give the conference a, you know, Dr. Machado, he'll like me if I do that, right? And the world, right? All over the world, I'll give a nickel. And how about if I donate 3 cents to the school? Jennifer's laughing, right? They'll keep your kids in school, right, Jennifer? Okay. Now I got $8.35 left. Rich. I'm rich. Why am I rich, Jennifer?
Because Jesus is
going to
take care of you.
Amen. Because $8.35 with God's blessing is better than $10 without it.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, this is not rocket science. The gospel is good news, not bad news. It's good news. And everything you asked us to do is good news. Dedicating 1/7 of our time to you, Lord. But by the way, it's more than that. It's all our time. But specifically, you said to rest in a special way on that seventh day. That's not a problem. That's a privilege. It's a blessing. Returning 1/10 of our increase and giving some liberal offerings to the church here, to the conference, to the world, and to the school here. That's not a problem. That's a privilege, and that's a blessing. So, Lord, I'd simply like to ask today, we could all do better. We could all do better, I included. So I'm simply going to ask, dear Lord, that if we want to do better, if we want to be obedient by your grace to observing that day of rest, that seventh day, the Sabbath day, and we want to be faithful in returning the tithe because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says, if you were hungry, you wouldn't even tell us. You don't need it, but you ask it because it helps us to develop our faith and trust in you. So, Lord, if we're willing to observe that seventh day and to return our 1/10 and our tithe and also an offering as we see fit. I just pray that people would raise their hand where they are. Is that too hard to do for Jesus? We recommit ourselves to you, dear Lord, and ask that you would give us that blessing of the Sabbath and give us the blessing of returning our tithe, the high places of the earth, in opening up the windows of heaven. We believe it. We have faith. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.